Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire. Welcome back to another episode of the Southern Collective Podcast. Guys, it has been a whirlwind. This season, I swear to you, I was counting down the minutes, and now I'm sitting here with one of my favorite people halfway through the month of November. For most of the people listening to this podcast, your season is at least halfway, if not like two-thirds over at this point in time. But I'm going to brag for a second, because the best, we're just starting to fire off down here. If you're not from the Deep South, I'm sorry, but you need to consider some out-of-state tags to hunt places like South Carolina and North Carolina. The rest of these states don't have any deer. But there's some fun to be had left, and so you're going to continue to hear some really good deer hunting content. So tonight, we're going to kind of do something a little different. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I am joined by the slayinest of slayers here, year one of SoCo, Matthew Reeves. Dude, last week I had to bail on you last second, and you jumped on the podcast and absolutely crushed it with Lyshon, dude. That was a great episode.
Man, when you have a guest like him, it's really, really fun. And you learn a lot during the process. You know, you're able to bounce questions off that you didn't think you were going to ask in the beginning. So it was really fun and really enjoyed doing that.
I think like what you said is guests like Jacob, they make all this easy, right? You know, some guests you kind of have to pry for the knowledge because they're not used to talking on podcasts, but that's not the case with him. The man's well articulated. I think he's in that upper echelon of hunters who not only can get it done, but they can talk about it and they can articulate and they don't feel threatened by it because their methodology is one that's going to be repeatable regardless of the landscape and the amount of pressure and whatnot. So I always like hearing from people who don't have that, and you came up with this idea, don't have that standard, I found this rub line, the trail was a cattle pasture trail, they're coming through here four times a day, and I just hunted it for, you know, 2 days until I killed something. I mean, he's in those areas, North Carolina, some of the areas I've heard him talk about, I know those deer densities are like six deer per square mile, which is just brutal.
Yeah, and that's how it is down here. You know, I mean, where I was hunting this morning, like, I didn't see a deer, but when I do see a deer, it's going to be the right deer. So that was a good one. And like you said, and we'll get into this in this podcast, about the sign in the Midwest and just the abundance of it and how that can really clutter your brain. And I had an instance like that. And we'll, like I said, as we go, we'll get more into it. But I mean, what's you killed a doe opening weekend of fire, and you've just been coasting, right?
Yeah, I haven't. I have hunted 3 days, 2.5 days since the second week of September, and I've just been prepping, man. I've been taking care of my family and getting the boat ready for our upcoming trip. We're going to be water accessing some deer out of state, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be the first ever SoCo hunt with the four of us together, and I just kind of biding my time, man. I got a 2-year-old. My wife's in grad school.
Hey.
My best hunting's December and January. I'm not pushing my luck the rest of the year.
This is my first season to really understand that. And I could have hunted this afternoon, but I picked my battles and came on home just to be here. And that's going to move forward, you know, if I want to go out of town on a weekend or something like that. And that's right. Older men, you know, they say things change as you get older. And I always, when I was, you know, in college, I was like, man, you're just lazy. You don't want to do nothing anymore. No.
Yeah.
They have other things to do. And, you know, I'm in that stage of life where I'm starting to see it. And you said, just wait, because we've got a little one on the way. And so it's next year's going to be a doozy. So.
Well, you got to pick your battles, man. And, you know, it's one of those things when you start looking at, like, okay, if my rut's not till December and January, how much of what I'm doing in September is going to translate to results in those months, right? I mean, you're basically looking at a summer pattern, right? I mean, you're hunting doe groups down here. It's not like you can sit over an ag pile and, you know, just it's just different. And so when you look at being efficient and making the most of that, man, I got a 2-year-old. He's going to be 2 for exactly 1 year.
Yeah,
you know, he will never be 2 again. Age 13 to 16 is going to feel real similar, but 2 is different. 3 is different. They're only tiny, and the world's only special for so long. And so we've been watching some football, smoking meats, been taking them to the woods every chance I can to check trail cameras and whatnot. But yeah, man, I'm biding my time, because come deer season, my wife's described it as turkey season light. She said, it's going to be like turkey season light. And I said, what you mean? She goes, well, you don't really care about deer quite as much as you do turkey, so you won't be foaming at the mouth. But
yeah,
you're going to be going every opportunity you can, aren't you? And I said, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Gotta get that going for you, man. It's
yeah, man.
Everybody deals with it just in different ways.
And I'll tell you something, man. Like, I'm man enough in hindsight to look back and say I neglected my marriage for a while there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, just it is what it is, man. My wife and I have worked through it, and we tried all the kinds of different things. But at the end of the day, man, I feel like I can be as productive in December and January as I am September to January, because I do most of my killing anyways in December and January. So it's like, and it's been hot, man. It was 85 degrees last week.
It's warming up here. I think we're going to get a cold front next week, though. And that's when I'm, you know, that Thanksgiving week. I've actually got some rut deer that will rut that week.
Come on.
We'll see what goes from there. But let's talk about some other rutting deer. You know, Parker's living it up still.
You know, I'm disgusted with that fella. Who gets to live in Missouri for the month of November?
Yeah, just hang out. That's all he's doing.
Talk about neglecting families, man. Jesus.
We'll just stop right there.
Hopefully Hallie doesn't listen to this podcast.
He's ready to be home. I know he is.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, let's do this. Before we get into what we're doing tonight, let's get some business out the way. I want to start with Patreon. I just mailed out 50 hats. 50 custom patch hats that went all over the country. I mailed out 27 Firebuck shirts. I got several orders I got to get out tomorrow as well. So I just want to say thanks to everybody. Actually, we're going to start real broad. I just want to say thanks to everybody. If you've ordered merchandise, that money has gone right back into a operation fund. We're trying to buy gear. We're trying to buy new, frankly, I'll just call it what it is. We need new editing equipment, right? We're all trying to get through with what we've got. But when you buy stuff like that, that money goes right back into that pool, and we're pooling those funds so that we can continue to bring content, because it's hard when you have four guys all separated across the South, all trying to get their hunting in and their editing. And, you know, Matt has done a terrific job being one of our producers this fall and putting the polish and touches on the things that I call a video, he'd probably call a turd. I just want to say thanks, because you guys have bought a hell of a lot of merch, and it's really helping. Parker and I are going to have some conversations the off season about how to invest that money back into this, so you guys get the most out of it going into turkey season. But another way you can help the podcast is by joining Patreon. We've got two new members we're going to shout out today, which is one of the benefits you get: Adam Glass and Jake Kushner. Funny thing, Adam Glass is a Florida guy that moved to Oregon, but we're starting to see an uptick of like Midwest and Northern guys subscribing to Patreon. And that's really interesting to me, because I think the appeal of the Southern Hunter kind of goes beyond obviously just the Southern Hunter. I think it's kind of one of those things that people kind of look at like it's the Wild West, Matt.
Yeah, it's different for sure. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wonder if they're wanting to get down here to see what it's about. I think they like being through the lens, you know. I'm going to be going to Florida this year. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Hadn't hunted there in a while, but no, it's cool to see, you know, guys kind of get that different perspective, because there's so many different quote unquote hunting cultures, across mm-hmm. the United States. You know, like you said, we got a guy in Oregon, you know, he has some really cool stuff going on up there. Mm-hmm. And then just to build the community we have, you know, it's not really, you know, if you're coming to look for, you know, quality deer content, we've got it, but we've also mm-hmm. got a community of guys that support each other that are all like-minded. And it's kind of like I say, like if you go to a wedding and you're a diehard deer hunter, how many of those are you going to run into? Probably not a lot, but if you find that one, that's the person you're going to mm-hmm. stick to the whole time and talk to. So that's, just imagine a wedding full of guys who love to talk deer hunting, and you have unlimited access to them. And that's what's awesome from my perspective.
Yeah. It bears out in times of crisis. And like, I know that sounds really weird, so I'm going to try and like put that into better terms. But like, when you've shot a deer and you haven't found it, and you're starting to hit that point of, I don't know what to do, and there's that uncertainty, that crisis. Matt, we see it in Discord like three or four times, and Polo, it feels like a week, where somebody shoots a deer, this is the blood, this is the scenario, what's going on? And instead of trying to make that decision with an adrenaline rush or post-adrenaline rush or sleep deprived because it's the rut or any of that stuff, you've just got a group of guys whose only goal is to give you the best information to find that deer. And on several occasions, the deer have been found. On several occasions, we've had trackers, blood trackers with dog trackers come on and be like, hey, that is a fill in the blank, and you're probably not going to find it because of whatever reason. And so I'm going to be honest with you, that's my ace up the sleeve. When something goes south, hitting that Patreon group and be like, hey guys, because I've made some really knuckleheaded mistakes kind of along the way, but it's awesome, man. And one of the other things we do along the way of, my screen just did something weird. Along the way of saying thanks to the Patreon members, free hats. If you're in the $10 tier, you get a free hat. And if you are so lucky, we do all kinds of giveaways. We're giving a carbon fiber predator platform away. On this episode, we're going to be announcing a join or die knife giveaway that is like 2 weeks past due, but circumstances be it what as they are, this is the first time we've sat down as a group to talk about it. The winner, by the way, is Kyle Huffstutler. Congratulations, buddy. Yep. Huff.
Heck yeah.
I need to overnight that thing to him so he can clean that big buck he's been chasing with that join or die knife.
I think he's going to get him soon.
I think he's going to get him in the morning. It's going to be too late. Yeah. So congratulations, Huff. You've got a custom. And when I mean custom, I mean this thing top to bottom, laser engraved with the SoCo knife, with the SoCo logo, and a waterproof box with a fire striker and the snake oil to take care of the handle and everything. That's headed your way, buddy. Just wanted to say thanks for everything that you're doing. Huff puts a hell of a lot of information from a woodsmanship perspective into those groups. And so couldn't think of a better person.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Kyle went to school together. So
yeah.
Well, I hadn't seen him. Well, I think I've seen him once since we graduated. So it was, you know, him joining Patreon and being part of that. That's always like hearing what he has to say.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I didn't have cool deer hunting friends like that in college. I had drinking buddies.
Well, that's why I majored in forestry.
Okay, you know what? That's fair. I majored in accounting, so there's not a whole lot of crossover there.
You drink beer and watch football.
Yeah, man. Well, so let's talk about a couple other things pretty quick. So obviously, Join or Die Knives, use the promo code SOCOHUNT, get 10% off an order. That way they know we're sending you to them. It's Christmas season, guys. Jump on there, get a knife, send your wife a link, get you a custom knife. But Matt, you got a brand new toy. A brand spanking new toy.
I did.
Tell me about it and tell everybody why you're in love with it.
Which one? The one a week ago or the one today?
No. The one today.
The one today. Oh, I got the Lockdown saddle from Tethered. And the first time I saw it was at the show. If y'all came by the show, saw the saddle, I was probably sitting in the saddle because I liked it that much. So I got it, and the different, I mean, those pockets, Walt, I mean,
dude, I know.
With everything being so close to me and like actually on my sides and not on my backside, that's huge for me. I'm able to take a couple more things out of my pack to where it's easier to access and, you know, getting up the trees just a little bit easier. But the comfort level, it's a sleeper on the comfort. I mean, you know, I this year I really dialed my Phantom in to where I was, you know, great, long sits, everything, no issues, no hip pinch, wonderful. But sitting in that Lockdown, it's just that extra, like, getting a recliner in the stand. Like, you can go from leaning to sitting, and it's like, I've said it, you know, a thousand times, it leans like a Phantom, sits like a lawn chair. And that is the truth. And then the yoke, I'm getting that figured out, you know, dialed in. But all the little pocket, you know, the pockets on the side, I don't know what the technical term of them is, but they've got pockets on pockets. And that was big for me because the zippers are very easy to unzip. You don't find that very often. Most of the times it's you're in a battle fighting something. So really impressed with it. I'm probably going to go, you know, I'm dying to go hunting it. So I'm going to make something happen hopefully this week to where I can get out and just, I sat in it this afternoon actually. And I just, kicked back and enjoyed myself.
They're called Lockdown Haulers.
Lockdown Haulers.
they got really original with that, but
that's very specific.
I think I'm with you. You know, they're limiting in the sense that you can't move them, right? They're stitched in, but they're positioned in a way where in the dark, like I'll be honest with you, I'm not a very flexible guy. Like my wife makes fun of me because I'm probably going to be that crippled old guy that's like hunched over because I can't like touch my toes or nothing. I'm working on it, guys. Yoga, it's a thing. But it used to be like I'd go like even with the pouch on the side, like to get into it, I felt like my back was cramping sometimes. Like I know that's embarrassing to say, but like my shoulder blades, it would cramp as I'm trying to like stuff the stuff back down into them. But with like one finger, they pop open and they don't like fall over the way that they're designed. Like they just like pop open. Dude, that thing is wicked. It is wicked.
I fought with my
Matt's judging me for having shoulder cramps trying to put ropes back in my pouches.
My back kills me. I mean,
yeah.
If I bend over wrong, my back will catch, you know. But no, it's outstanding. If you haven't been in one, I know, you know, we were talking about it in Polo a little bit earlier. It's worth the investment. You know, I can say that truthfully because I have invested in them, and they're the saddle, man, for me, you know, and it's just what I like using.
Well, dude, we're going to approach one of your recent hunts, with a different, again, this is Matt's idea, but we're going to approach it, from a different light. We're not going to really tell the story here because you're going to get to hear about it on a podcast with his journal. You're going to get to see it on video. Matt's going to break down, well, I guess we're going to break down. I actually haven't heard a lot of this, so I'm going to be kind of asking questions from like a listener perspective in this regard, kind of what went down into this, because Matt, you went to a piece of property you'd never been to before, correct?
That's right.
And you had how long to hunt?
I had 4 days.
Yeah. Not a hell of a lot of time to break down a piece of property you've never been to before.
Yep. Yeah, it was a treat. When I say we, I'm referring to my good buddy, and he's also a Patreon member, Andrew Lang. We try to do a rut hunt every year. He goes to Kentucky with me early season, and you know, I tagged out early this year, fortunately, and
decent deer.
I didn't have a tag in Kentucky, and that's usually where we go for the rut hunt. So I decided to hunt Tennessee, and he ended up tagging along with me. And the property we went to, like I said, never scouted it, nothing like that. Just looked at it on a map, hoping, you know, nobody would be sitting in the areas that we wanted to go to. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. it was a muzzleloader hunt. And so, you know, first weekend of November muzzleloader hunt, that's pretty, you know, pretty popular. Mm-hmm. People are going to flood the woods. So going into it, we just kind of tried to have an open mind about it. You know, hey, this is kind of it was just like a kind of a bonus for me. I didn't even expect to go on this hunt and really want Andrew to kill, you know, a big deer. And he got in him. And that's, you know, I'm going to refer to him a lot because he was in the deer. He killed a really nice buck while we were there and saw a lot of others. But man, going to a new place and not getting so consumed with all the sign you see. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest flaw with hunting anywhere, you know, whether it be Alabama, but mainly Kentucky or Tennessee. I'm looking for scrapes and rubs. Everybody wants to see scrapes and rubs. You don't have to hunt over scrapes and rubs when they're chasing. And that got me in trouble. I had two sits where I just was like, I'm just climbing a tree. Like, I don't feel good about anything. And I climbed in dumb spots and I didn't see any deer. Mm-hmm. But learned from that as we went, and all in all, ended up having a successful trip, which we'll get into the details of that more. But you know, the main thing, you know, that I want to look at, and we kind of talked about it last week with Jake, is going to new properties and being able to capitalize quick and move on the right things to find the things that the deer want, which the deer wanting does when we were there. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. what they were wanting. So my first sit.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I mean, you look at these regions. So Tennessee, it's heavily hardwoods and rolling terrain. That's mainly what it is. You don't find very many pine thickets. There are some throughout the state, but you don't find like the thicket you know, it, from a map standpoint. So I was able, this piece of property had some timber cuts on it. And they were probably 10-year-old timber cuts, but they, what they did is they just went in and did a understory release. So an understory release is when a timber company or a logger comes in and cuts mainly all the small diameter trees. They'll go in and take some of the higher value hardwoods for logs like white oak, walnut, stuff like that. And what that does is that opens that forest floor up to then be able to grow new vegetation and create a thicket, basically. So first morning we got in there walking in blind. I was actually texting y'all. I got up in the stand and I was like, man, I just scouted this area and I found like two rubs, and you were like, are you scouting in the dark? And I was. I was just walking around trying to find where a high spot was, where some scrapes would be, where some rubs would be. And, you know, ended up finding that first morning, and I ended up seeing six bucks and like four does. No legal bucks. I was actually hunting in a draw between two of these thickets, and these deer were just popping out. And I had a buck grunting, chasing a doe in one of the thickets, couldn't see him, but that's where the deer wanted to be. Andrew saw a really big 8-point that morning, a smaller 8-point. So first morning we were fortunate enough to locate where these deer wanted to be. And we were like, okay, that's a great start. Let's duplicate this. Let's make it happen. So that afternoon we end up going to the same area. And like I was telling you, I want to find a scrape or a rub to sit on just for my own personal, you know, like make me feel good, I guess, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Well, I walked and I walked and I didn't find nothing. Well, then I find a scrape. I walk up to the scrape, a buck gets up out of his bed and runs off. And I'm like, well, shoot, you know, that is, you know, forget this area, you know, thinking, oh, that's the only buck in the area, you know, like an idiot. But I ended up getting frustrated, went back over to an ag field and climbed up a tree. And I was sitting there, no deer, no deer, no deer, where my phone rings. And it's Andrew. So I answer, I'm like, hello? And I'm like, he shot one. So he goes, I just shot a really big buck. I'm like, awesome. He goes, but I think I hit it high. I was like, he was close, 12 yards. Maybe, you know, got it long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I climbed down, and where I walked in the woods and jumped that buck, there's three bucks standing in the edge of the field. And I'm like, why, you know, no rhyme or reason why they walked. There was no major trail, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were just came out. And that's, you know, you can find rut funnels. And that's something that I'm like, don't get too caught up during the rut that you're either not on really fresh sign, because most of the time they're done laying sign when they're rutting. They'll rub trees, you know, if you find a good rub, but like scrapes and stuff, they pretty much leave them. So don't get jumbled up in all the old sign, which that's what I was doing. I was scatterbrained. But anyways, we went to where Andrew shot this buck. And I start walking in there, and it is thick. I mean, I took my backpack off, but I'm hitting little saplings just walking through open woods because this is an old timber cut. And we get in there, he hit it high, couldn't find his arrow, didn't find any blood, ended up not finding a deer, did a grid search the next day, deer still alive, running around, waiting to see, you know, if somebody shoot it and say, hey, who was shooting yada, yada, yada arrow? Mm-hmm. You know, here's this buck. But what was that? That was that evening. The next morning, that's when I was nighttime scouting. That early morning, I got hot and ended up seeing one really nice shooter across the creek. I thought I made my back, you know, threw my back out crossing that creek because I had to climb an embankment. And I don't know if you've ever crossed those creeks, like in the West, like they're not like back home where it's just like, Mm-mm. Little 2 foot, like they're like gorgeous, man. Like you got to get down there and get up. So it's something else. But saw that deer, and then I went and hunted the next afternoon, and I found a pinch, what I would think was a rut pinch, you know, where there's two bedding areas, deer would walk right down them. Looks great. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking in there, rub, rub, rub. I'm like, I am on the sign. Well, I find a rub on a cedar tree that's like the size of my leg. And I'm like, man, I got to climb right here. Well, I get to looking at it, and I caught something, caught my eye behind it. I said, no freaking way. And there was a shed. And I love finding sheds. Well, I start walking up to it, and it was a match set. So it was pretty cool to find the match set.
I didn't
set.
Realize that.
Yeah, it was a match set. So,
oh, man.
It was a good one. I think it was last year's. They'd been eating on a little bit.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but not too bad. But ended up hunting that afternoon, and I saw a doe and a spike. And I was about to kill an armadillo because it drove me insane. it was just doing that light walking. You know, it sounded just like a buck mm-hmm. behind me. And mm-hmm. I had another cedar tree behind me kind of for back cover. And it did it. But I mean, here's a prime example. Like I'm going to keep hitting on this sign thing. Like I found the rubs. I found what I thought was a pinch. You would think out of this place, some 6 point or some little scraggly deer besides a spike would have come through there. They just didn't show. So like it's, don't put much thought into a rut hunt, because you can put some thought into it, but don't overthink. And I was overthinking.
Were the scrapes fresh? Like, had they been open, or was there a leaf litter starting to show up?
Some had been pawed in a little bit. And, you know,
yeah.
Down here, we haven't been getting much rain. So everything's yeah. so dry. But up there, it had rained like the day before. So they were opening these scrapes, you know. The ones that were the desirable scrapes, like main scrapes, mm-hmm. they were hitting mm-hmm. those. But like those random ones you find in the woods, they weren't hitting. Mm-hmm. But I ended up hunting a different area from Andrew. Andrew stayed in that thick stuff, which I should have been in the thick stuff too. He ended up seeing like 9 bucks that afternoon and 2 shooters. Like it was stupid, but Jesus. It was so thick, like. It was, if you were bow hunting, it was hard to get a shot with a bow. And then if you were hunting with a shotgun or a muzzleloader, you know, it was hard to get a shot in that because they were so close. And by the time they were on you, they were almost seeing you. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it was real tough in that. But where am I? So that was that afternoon. The next morning, I went in with him. We were going to double team the area where he saw all those bucks. And I ended up seeing a spike in the doe. They came in first thing that morning. And then I think I got it on video. I'm like doing an interview and I hear somebody shooting. It sounds like it's right in front of me. You know how, you know, muzzle brakes will echo. I'm like, okay,
yep.
That sounded like Andrew. Well, it ended up not being Andrew. It was a guy in front of him. So I'm sitting there again, talking to the camera, and another shot goes off. And I'm like, oh, somebody snuck in front of me, you know, whatever. Well, it ended up being Andrew. And I heard the deer come. He came within like 150 yards of me, crashed, piled up, all awesome stuff. I ended up not seeing any deer that morning. So we ended up getting his buck out. He shot a nice 8 point. I've never seen a deer that was shot with a shotgun in all my years of hunting. I've never seen a deer that was shot with a shotgun.
It's gruesome.
It's the slug gun will put a hole through one real quick. So it was good.
My buddy calls it the rebar slinging, or the God, he's, I just killed it, but he's rebar A-bar or something like that. It's the BAR rebar, but basically he's just, his whole philosophy is it's just a chunk of freaking hate flying at 2,100 feet per second.
Yeah.
No logistics to it, but I mean, it's just devastating.
It's coming. It's a big piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
Or lead. I don't know why I said metal, but, so my plan of what I was doing was not working for me. I was pretty frustrated with what my results were. And it just was tough that morning. So I ended up swapping areas. I talked to a guy, there were some fields there, like some cut over kind of areas. And he had sat in them, and he had shot a couple big deer out there, and he had like a 130-inch 10-point that he let walk. And
what?
Yeah, yeah. It was stupid. And so I got talking to him, and he was like, okay, this is the kind of stuff like that I'm hunting. So I scrapped everything I had found and was like, I'm just going to go try this, because he'd been doing it for years. Basically hunting grown-up cutovers with heavy trails in them. Mm-hmm. I hate hunting like that. I like to be in the woods. I like to hear them. Like, I like to mm-hmm. be where I feel like they're living. Well, I got in there that afternoon. Wind was good. And I sat and I was not confident. I was like, this just is not going to happen. There's no rubs. There's no scrapes. No sign. There's one trail right here. Like, okay. So I sit, and this was daylight savings time. Cursed daylight mm-hmm. savings time. It's awful.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know why we do this crap every year.
I don't either, man. It's awful. But I'm sitting there. It's like 4:30, and I see my first deer. I see 8-point. He like is walking through this thick stuff. I can barely see the top of his rack. I'm trying to get my gun. Mm-hmm. He goes over the hill. Don't see him. I'm sitting there, and I've never shot a deer with a muzzleloader. So, like, my father-in-law let me borrow his muzzleloader, and I was like, if it's a legal deer, I'm going to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sitting there, and I'm like, well, I saw one deer. You know, that may be the only deer I see. And I hear something coming from where I parked from my truck. Like, this just goes to show you how stupid the rut can be. You know, whether it's Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. It's just how stupid it can be. Here comes mm-hmm. a doe walking straight from my truck. I'm like, okay. Well, she looks like she's out of breath, got that sunk in face. I'm like, okay, she's hot. Like, there's going to be a buck behind her. So I get my gun ready. Sure enough, here comes a 7-point. He's outside the ears. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good deer. You know, I'm going to try to shoot him. He comes to 10 yards. I'm hunting the edge of it, the timber edge. He comes to 10 yards and then hits the same trail she hit. And the trail she hit was walking directly away from me. So I've got him on camera, like everything's to a T. Like, I just got to stop him and shoot him. Well, he turns broadside, and I get, you know, did the old man. And he walked 2 more steps, turned away from me, and turned around and looked. And then he was gone. He was with her. So I'm like, well, there. You know, it's almost dark. I got like 30 minutes left. Like, there went my shot. So he runs into the other block of woods, and somebody shoots. And I'm like, huh, somebody got him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I look out in the field, and there were 2-3 does standing there, and they just stopped. And I'm like, okay, they heard the gunshot. Like, they're not, my hunt's screwed from now on. Well, they finally kind of start calming down. And I see a doe out in the field, and it's the doe he was chasing. So I'm like, okay, he's not going to be behind her. He got shot, you know, whatever. Well, here she comes walking straight to my tree. She's at 20 yards. Well, then he pops out on the other side at like 100 yards. I'm like, okay. So he starts doing, you know, just a beeline right to me. Well, he starts kind of walking broadside. I'm like, he's walking close to me. Like, I'm going to let him get as close as he wants to, because I'm shooting with a muzzleloader that I think it's still on. You know, muzzleloaders can,
mm-hmm.
they have a mind of their own. And so he gets out to about 70 yards, and I stopped him, and he was quartering to me a little ways, and I put it right in front of his shoulder and hit him in his chest, came out on his back rib, and he ran 60 yards and piled up. And well, what's funny is when I was tracking him, like, I found blood, 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 and then it just like went away. And I'm like, where is this deer at? So I started like grid searching, like out from it. And I was like, I'm just going to go back to first blood and go from there. Well, I get to first blood, and I'm looking around, and he's 5 yards from me, just laying there. Like, I walked right past him. Just like, you know how in the dark your headlamp can make you like, yeah. So tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just walked right past him. But all in all, with that hunt, that just goes to show you, like, even in the rut, it doesn't matter how much thought you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never know what's going to happen. You could be in a spot that you mm-hmm. don't think is going to produce, and hey, you end up killing a buck. You end up killing the biggest buck of your life, perhaps. There's always opportunities for that. And that's the thing, like if your season's going bad, like we've had some guys who are struggling with their season, you know, and I've had years where I struggle in my season. All it takes is 5 seconds for it to change. You know, you can go from having the worst season of your life to the best season of your life. So that's the rut for you. And whether you are a rut hunter, like Walt, we were talking, you'd like to shoot a lot of your deer in December because that's really when they're moving around. That's when your odds are going to be, you know, the highest. They're laying down sign, they're moving more, all this great stuff. But at the end of the day, you could just set up somewhere random during the rut and luck up and kill a buck just because they're looking for does, especially if you're around a doe group. And that area that I was in was a doe bedding area, and that's what that buck came in looking for. I really wish I would have had a chance to hunt it in the morning because that's when I think it was really, really hot. I think in the evenings, you know, it kind of cools down a little bit for ruts. I mean, on rut hunting, do you see more movement in the mornings or evenings typically?
God, that's a great question. I don't know that I have an answer for you, but I can tell you.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8" Western. Ooh, a mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are. Any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
The biggest deer I saw last year was in the evening.
Yeah.
Biggest deer I saw last year was in the evening. But I mean, I'm in the bedding area.
Right.
Like there are two little knobs 100 yards apart, and I'm sitting in the bowl between the two that connects them to the little like thermal hub, for lack of better words. So I don't know if that's like a great example. It's kind of like a one off. Probably mornings.
Yeah,
probably mornings.
I don't know if it's a thing from, you know, since it's been night and they're just trying to get back to bed and they end up getting distracted. You know, they're out on the streets at night and get distracted and they're out till the sun comes up, kind of thing.
That's right.
But I just think mornings are your best times for rut. But when I got down, I drove the deer out and all that stuff, and there were trails everywhere, trails I couldn't see. You know, no scrapes and rubs in there, but there's trails everywhere. And that's just where the does were wanting to be. So I got too hung up in hunting sign rather than just hunting the doe groups. And I do it every year because who doesn't like seeing a scrape and sitting over it and hoping the deer comes and works it and you kill it that way. But it doesn't work like that most of the time.
Well, I think, you know, Brett and I were talking about something the other day, and I may have had like my own epiphany of sorts that I'll just share because it might be relevant to this conversation. You tell me if it is. But, you know, I was talking to him. And I said, you know, I don't feel confident with deer. Like I have a couple spots I feel confident about the spot. But like if you tell me, Walter, you got 7 days to kill a deer, can you do it? I don't have that same confidence I have during turkey season. During turkey season, you give me 7 days to hunt a spot, I'm going to pull the trigger one time.
Yeah.
I might miss, but I'm going to pull that trigger, right? And I told Brett, and it's funny how sometimes you can like say things and like answer your own questions. I said, I feel like with turkeys, I listen to the turkey and I just know what I need to do. And I said, but with deer hunting, it's like I can never quit arguing with the sign I'm being given, like the indications that I'm being given. And I was going to bring this up the next round table we had, because I feel like it's something we should talk about, but I think a lot of times with deer hunting, it's all, you know, they don't talk to you verbally. So it's a lot of interpreting like lead sign, mm-hmm. right? But I think you can argue with a deer sometimes. And like when you were talking about your spots, if the scrapes aren't fresh and it doesn't seem like they're getting hit, maybe that's the time to ignore them like you're talking about. Find you a good old pinch point that's just a high volume area and sit that joker. It probably won't work in December.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, that place will be totally different, you know, once this rut's over. And I know, like, here in Alabama, I've got a buddy of mine who has some private property, and he's put cameras out in corn piles, and all he's getting is does. And if you're listening mm-hmm. to this may be your same situation. All he's getting is does. And he's like, why am I just getting does? I'm like, because when the rut comes, you're going to have like 10 bucks show up on that camera in one night mm-hmm. because they're out looking. I said, don't give up on the place. Just give it some time. And I had a spot where a deer would try. He tripped for 2 years, which he may have done this longer, but I had 2 years of data on him moving from a neighboring property 2 miles away, which 2 miles to deer is mm-hmm. not that far. He moved 2 miles the night of Christmas, and he was on my property until the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd go back, and then he'd do it again. He'd summer over there, and then he'd come back with a rut. And it's just – it's amazing what the rut does with deer. You get deer you've never seen before, mm-hmm. and you get to see action like you've never seen before. And, man, it is fun. And that's, you know – If you've got time, it's always fun to go out of state and to see, you know, what deer do. I was talking to somebody, and actually tonight at dinner, a guy hunts Illinois. He was like, man, it's just hard for me to hunt around here, around home, because of how the deer act up there. And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, with our, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to do this or nothing, but like with our schedules and prioritizing things in our life, like, hey, give me 4 good trips a year. To hunt, you know, mm-hmm. balls out on really mm-hmm. good deer hunting, and then let the chips fall where they may. And more than likely, you're going to get a shot at a big deer. If you execute, that's on you.
Yeah.
So just some.
I mean, that's what I did last year. Had one of my best years to date. I did 1 4-day hunt a month.
Yeah.
Every month of the season. And what I was trying to test there was, if I give myself 4 days, does that give me enough time to find the deer and then kind of hone in on the pattern? And it was, dude, it was like day one, you know, depending on if you had familiarity with the area, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes you were a little faster, but it was like brief sightings, a few more sightings, a lot of sightings, very last hunt, shoot a deer. Brief sightings, more, it was very last, it was just interesting, because I think you can... Okay, let me just ask you the question directly. Do you wish you'd done more scouting on the front end of that, given that it was new? Do you feel like if you'd scouted more, you may have not argued with the sign you were looking for quite as much? Or do you think that that was just the mindset you took into it that time?
That was the mindset I took. And because...
What would it take for you to be more agile mentally in the future?
From my mistake?
This hunt?
You know, I mean,
yeah.
That's 2 years in a row that I've done this. And I, mm-hmm. I had a chance at a buck last year. By hunting an area that was kind of a pinch point with scrapes. You know, I talk mm-hmm. about scrapes a lot on podcasts because they've always intrigued me, because it's like, hey, a buck was right here at some time laying down sign, like, hey, he might be back. Well, he's not going to be back probably when you're there. There's a good chance if you find the right scrape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I've got a scrape I think I can do that on this year. I found a car hood scrape on some public, mm-hmm. and I don't have a camera on it. My dang camera's not messed up that's on it, so that's frustrating. I had a guy give me some trail cameras, and I should have checked them before uh-huh. I put them out. And the thing died back in August.
Oh my.
So I just haven't been back in there. But yeah. Nah, man, that's, you know, that was a fun hunt. I enjoyed going on it. Slept in my truck one night. That was miserable. I guess I can't do it. You know, that's kind of what we were talking about on the, you know, camping stuff.
Yeah.
Just, if you got to do it, you enjoy it, and you come home with a buck.
That's it. I mean, I can easily sleep in my car for a couple of days. I really can't. Like, I'm not saying I want to do it forever, but I can put the seat back. I can get my feet locked up. But the key is, the caveat to that, the trick, Matt, is you just have to go so hard during the day that it doesn't matter where you lay your head, you'll go to sleep.
Because that's right. That's right.
When we went to Tennessee, I slept in a tent the first, like, day. First night or second night, maybe both, I don't know. And then by day three, we were sleeping in the car. I was so daggum tired. I laid my head back, and I woke up, and the alarm was going off, man. My feet were numb from being up against the windshield and everything. No.
Now you put your feet up against the windshield?
Dude, I rented this tiny little Jeep Compass because do you remember? Because my radiator blew out.
Yeah, that was when your car trouble.
Yep, my radiator blew out in the Xterra, and so I had to either cancel the trip or get the Jeep Compass. And the Jeep Compass, its fuel savings compared to the Xterra paid, like, it was a wash what I was going to pay in gas. But dude, I'm sitting there like this, like with my feet like up on like the windshield, and it got down to like 40 degrees, and so like I just like seeped heat from my toes. And so like at like 3:45 in the morning, my alarm goes off and my feet are just numb. And I'm like, dude, I have frostbite. Like, am I going to die? I had all these like moments of like panic. Turned on the daggum heated floors and that Jeep Compass, put my feet down there. Hey, shoo.
In business.
Dude. But I mean, it's going to be fun because first week of December, man, we're all going to be primitive camping.
I'm ready.
Yeah, me too. Because I think if we have some decent weather, I think where we're going, which is going to remain a top secret.
We're going to Iowa.
Top secret. Iowa. I thought it was Indiana. But anyways, we'll figure it out. We'll nail it down.
Oh, yeah. You haven't put in for your points yet.
I haven't put in my point yet. I forgot that this year. But yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm really looking forward to it. And what I'm really looking forward to is hunting a terrain type I'm not used to.
Yeah.
Hill country, you know, with some topography. It's funny because every time I go to North Georgia, which I don't really consider like mountains, like it is mountains, but it's not like North Carolina, Pisgah National Forest. It's low elevation stuff. The moment you put topography on the landscape, I can find deer. Like I find deer and find deer and find deer. And it's just the features narrow down what they do. I'm not saying I'd kill big deer, but two of the biggest deer I've ever shot at and missed were in North Georgia in the mountains.
Yeah, terrain feeders are fun, man.
Dude.
Flatland.
They're a blessing. It sucks. It sucks, but it is what it is, man. Well, listen, I am glad you had a good time in Tennessee. You've shot a buck in Kentucky. You shot a buck in Tennessee. You're due one for Alabama. Maybe you can get one on our out-of-state trip as well.
We'll see. It's been
a lot of fun. And then Florida, or Florida, as you would call it.
Florida. Flow rider. I just got to say flow rider every time I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know? Okay, totally off subject. Do you know the rapper T-Pain?
Yeah.
You know he's from Tallahassee. That's where the T and T-Pain comes
really?
From. Didn't know that.
Hmm.
Just found that out today on the way home. Yeah, a little random useless fact nobody wanted to know on this podcast.
I'm T-Pain. You've known
yeah,
me.
It's going to be interesting, man. I'm really looking forward to hunting with you in December. I'm looking forward to hunting with you in January. Honest to God, I want to get on that. You going to bring your daddy's or your father-in-law's muzzleloader?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I'm excited for you to see some of these areas because there's an area that Parker and Brett deer turkey hunted that is loaded with deer, and I think I'm on the cusp of figuring it out, but I'd love to take you back in there midday and just show you some of that areas. We'll walk it. Maybe we might just water access it and hunt it one day.
We'll make the most of it, man.
Yeah, buddy. All right, dude. Well, let's put a pin in this. I need to edit it and get it out. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Do you have any closing thoughts? Did I cut you off with something left to say?
That's good. Just if I can say one thing, is don't get caught up in all the sign. No matter where you are, just hunt where you feel like you got to hunt. Usually your feet are going to lead you to where the deer are. And that's what I did from when I was younger. I didn't know anything about topography, thermals, saddles, anything like that. I just walked till I thought it was a good spot. Trust your feet. Trust your instinct. And get out there and hunt.
I love it, man. Well, with that, I'm going to bid you adieu. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Definitely check out the merchandise shop. We got a bunch of stuff on there. You can still order stuff in time for Christmas presents for everybody. We might have a special coming along that way. And I'm going to just leave you with this. We're in negotiations with another company to do consistent giveaways throughout the year. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You've heard us talk about them before, and we'll leave you with that tidbit. So until next time, y'all get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Awesome.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.